There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Arab World, discovering the region's best stories.
So, Zeina Hashimbek, welcome to the studio. You are a... I'm going to embarrass you now and give you a really long introduction. So you're a Lebanese poet. You've won so many prizes, including the Maysart and New Hampshire Poetry Prize for your second full-length collection, which is Louder Than Hearts, which we have here in the studio today. It's very exciting. And your writing covers a variety of topics. So the themes that you tend to touch on, culture, home, exile, stop me if I'm getting any of these wrong.
Go on.
Family narratives, language, identity. You founded and you host Punch Poetry as well. And you're a frequent performer at the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature as well. My first question for you is, have you always been a poet, and kind of where did that journey begin?
Yeah, I think I've always been a poet. I think I've always been drawn to language and how we use language, and always been drawn to poetry as an art. I always somehow knew that I wanted to write. I had my doubts along the way, you know, like, do I really want to do this? It's very difficult to do this, you know, but I think I kind of always knew and was attracted to poetry as an art form.
And was poetry a part of your life growing up? Was it in the house? Were there people around you who inspired you?
It depends on your definition of poetry. So no, in terms of like poetry books or poetry anthologies or written poetry, but I do consider that, you know, the sounds of my hometown is a form of poetry. I do consider that the stories of the women around me is poetry. People, you know, all stories around you growing up can turn into poems. And so to that extent, yes, I do think that my mother has like a poetic soul, if that mm-hmm. term even exists. Like, she's a very poetic person. She exists very intensely, feels very intensely, expresses herself very intensely. So I think she too is a poet at heart. And I've learned to sort of pay attention to everything around me from her, and she's the one who's always encouraged me, who always said, oh, you're going to be a writer, even when I was like, I think I probably was 5 or 6, and she said, you're going to be a writer. Mm. I see you reading in front of people. It's a bit creepy, you know, but she actually said that.
So. Mm. And I mean, when you has she come to your performances, for instance? Has she seen you when
yeah,
you're
yeah.
And how do you feel when she's there?
I usually kick her to the back, like kick her out to the back of the.
I've
like,
seen you do this.
Oh my god!
It's
like,
really mean.
It's not mean. She just stands there with a huge phone, front row, and wants to film me. And I said, it was at the Lit Fest, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was.
And I said, Mom, can you please go back and like not film this on your phone? So I try not to like actually see her in the audience, because it's not embarrassing, but it's sort of tilts me off balance that this is my mom here watching, you know, listening. So yeah.
And who were your poetic influences? Who were the people that you turned to?
Oh, that's like such a huge question, and I always hate to answer it, because I always like go out of the interview and go, ah, oh, I forgot that person. So I think you're always writing under the influence of whoever you're reading now or you've read. So if I have to very quickly trace my influences, I'd say I'd start with the French, because I was French educated. So there was definitely Victor Hugo, Verlaine, Baudelaire were there. And then in university, my first like wow moment in terms of poetry was T.S. Eliot. I remember reading The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock and thinking, I don't get this poem, but it's so beautiful.
Exactly my reaction as well.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And but beyond dead white men, right? Because that's something very important, is that you read something other than dead white men, is people writing now. There's lots and lots of people writing now who are just brilliant. Among the Arab or Arab American community, for example, there's Leila Shatti, Tunisian American writer that I love her writing. There's Hayyan Sharara, Fadi Jouda, Phil Mitries. Going beyond the Arab community, I love the work of Kaveh Akbar. I love Tiana Clark, Black American writer, beautiful work. Danez Smith. I can go on and on. There's Raymond Antropis in England, whose work I really love. I mean, the list doesn't end, but these are among, like, what I'm trying to say is read people who are alive now and read people who are writing from the margins.
Mm.
too.
I mean, do you think, I mean, you've run through a list of people across the globe, really, there at the moment. Do you think we're actually in a rich period of poetry?
I do think that people are certainly paying more attention to poetry right now, that it is sort of a center stage. It's a good time to be a poet, but, you know, for sometimes for the wrong reasons, because they want to have like an Arab woman poet there. And sometimes it's for the wrong reasons, and you have to break that stereotype, but that's okay. You use that platform anyway, and you know, you advocate like good things. And so, yes, I do think that more people are turning to poetry, especially at that particular political moment that we're living in.
Speaking of platforms, I want to talk locally now. So you founded and you host Punch Poetry. How did that start and how can people get involved? I mean, there's another event coming up soon, right?
Yeah. We started Punch in... I founded Punch in 2012. Mm-hmm. And we started this as this like really small poetry night. And I always do a mixture of featured poets, but also an open mic. So to give people the chance to come up and read. So our first Punch of season 5 of Punch would be next Thursday, October 12th. It will take place in Nadi Al-Qoz in Al Sirkal Avenue from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can check us out on Facebook. There's a Facebook group called Punch, P-U-N-C-H, all caps, Dubai-based poetry and open mic collective. There's a Facebook event there. And if you want to be part of the open mic list, then you have to email punchpoetrynight@gmail.com to see if you could, you know, get a slot there. It's almost full, I think, for next Thursday. But yeah, there's also a waiting list. So, yeah.
Okay, so reminders, next Thursday at 8 o'clock?
8, yes.
8 o'clock yes. At
Nadi Al-Qoz. In Al Sirkal Avenue.
So yes. There you go. So that's where everybody should be.
Thank you. thank you.
Next question for you. So your latest poetry collection, Louder Than Hearts, how does this differ to your previous collections? I mean, tell us about the inspiration behind this.
My first poetry collection was very much centered on Beirut as a city. I think this one goes beyond that and taps into a deeper part of my psyche or certain traumas. And I think the collection both grieves and celebrates. It probably departs from my relationship to my hometown, Tripoli, Lebanon, and to my reaction to the explosions that happened there in August 2013 and the loss that entailed from there. But it zooms out of that to the idea of home and homeland and displacement and where is my home and what is a mother language. So it zooms out into Syria and Palestine and Iraq, but also questions the fact that I exist at the intersection of Arabic, English, and French. So what does it mean to be Arab, but to also write in English? And how do I specifically maybe use English in a way that's different from a native English speaker? What is my relationship to this language that is also the language of the quote-unquote empire, right? All of that. But it also celebrates Arab culture, Arab identity. It pays tribute to Arab singers that I grew up listening to particular Arabic songs. It has some humor. It has lots of love. And so, yeah, I guess that's the heart of Louder Than Hearts.
Would it be cheeky to ask you to read something for us?
Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to read something for you guys. I think I'm going to read the very first poem because I think it introduces the collection well. It's a ghazal, so it's a formal poem. And it is a tradition in a ghazal to address yourself at the end. So that's why I'm not that self-centered. Okay. All right, so it's called... Sorry, and I have to make a small clarification that Sheikh Imam in this particular poem refers to the Egyptian singer and composer who used to sing the Egyptian colloquial poetry of poet Ahmed Fuad Negm. So that's who Sheikh Imam is in this poem. This is called Broken Ghazal, Speak Arabic. I write in English the way I roam foreign cities, full of street light and betrayal, until I find a coffee shop that speaks Arabic. If we were born in the cities we long for, love, Paris, Prague, New York, what languages would they have taught us to speak? Arabic says the best singers are the peddlers. And the Quran, would it still lift us if it didn't speak Arabic? Sure, there's always Lenin. But I wonder if we would have found Sheikh Imam, who reminds us the wound is awake and love speaks Arabic, who reminds us no one can colonize a river, and the tyrant is always afraid of the poet, especially if she speaks Arabic. They say people who grow up in two languages have stronger memories, and they can hear the birds on the balconies speak Arabic, and they know a mountain of orange life jackets looks like spring, though it won't revive the dead who speak Arabic, but no longer need a visa or translation. And you, Zena, what else can you do but whisper to these broken lines, speak, speak Arabic?
James, you'll have to take it from here.
That's fantastic. It was absolutely brilliant.
Crying. Sorry, yeah. Annabelle.
Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with contemporary issues there as well. I mean, we have, you know, the sight of what we see on the television every night. I mean, that's really important to you as well, is it, to speak about what's actually happening in this region now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you're a poet, then you're involved with the world around you. You pay attention to the world around you. You pay attention to what's happening around you. So you have to do that. You can't just sort of exist on an imaginary, you know.
You feel it as a duty, really, then, do you?
Yeah. It doesn't mean that every single poem that I write will be in response to the news, but you have to have that awareness, especially as an Arab poet, especially as a woman poet. You have to address all these issues, really.
Mm.
What's your writing process? I mean, how do you... I can see that you have all these ideas and you're responding to things that are happening, but I mean, physically writing, do you stick to a structure or is it quite loose?
No, I absolutely have like a regiment. I stick to a structure. I think, you know, writing poetry seems easy to some, you know, but it's actually very, very difficult. It's so I have this period of time every day where I absolutely like I try not to be on social media, which is getting more and more difficult, but I try to like hide my phone in a drawer or something, not answer my phone, not go anywhere, just sit there on my desk and work can some days mean just reading, taking notes, doing mind maps. I don't necessarily write every day. I know there are writers who absolutely have to write every day. I don't do that. I sort of let the poem stew or whatever in my head and then hope that the lines will come, the rhythm will come, the poem will come. But I try to be alert, listen, and definitely read every day and be there from like show up for the art in order for, you know, something to be produced. And that's hours. That's at least 4 hours every morning.
We're going to have to wrap up here, but very quickly, if we want to buy your new book, where do we buy it from?
Yeah, it should be at Magrudi's very, very soon. And you can buy it online on, like, I'm sure on, like, Amazon and also on my publisher's website. And look out for a book launch soon. I'm not sure where yet. If any people who run venues want to have a really cool book launch at their venue, contact me. Find me on my website and contact me. But we're planning a book launch maybe mid to end of November in Dubai, that is.
Thank you, Zena, for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.